Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode. Have you thought about implementing sleep apnea into your practice, but wonder, can it be done, how it's being done? You hear about our courses and other courses, and you say, well, wonder what the attendees are doing when they get back. I want you to introduce you to Christina Palmer this week and hear her story about how she's grown her practice, how she's reinvigorated her love for dentistry, and how sleep has been an important part of that. So stay tuned. It's a fun episode, and we know you're going to love it.
Welcome to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal, where our goal is to change the way you practice dentistry by helping you achieve clinical, financial, and personal balance. Now, here's your host, T-Bone.
All right, Christina, how are you doing?
I am great, thank you. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I do want to make a little fun of you, by the way.
Okay.
Those earrings.
I took them off. You noticed that? They were just on.
They were just on. Are you kidding me?
They're huge. I took them off.
Those earrings are, they're great. Are you kidding me? They must jingle and make sounds everywhere you go.
No, they're leather, so they don't. They're great. All my patients know. I have about 25 pairs of these, and my patients can't wait to see like what color I have on. Yeah.
Oh, they look like they were copper or something on the TV screen here.
They're metallic leather. Yes.
Metallic leather. Oh, that one.
Yeah. Wow. Nickelandsuede.com. They're quite lovely.
Okay, got to get a promo in there. Good for you. Okay, so now I got another thing I can make fun of you for real quick, okay?
Okay.
It looks like you're hiding somewhere in your house to do this podcast.
Yes, I am. I'm not even in my house. I'm in Florida right now.
Oh, that's right. On spring break.
Yeah, I'm at Anna Maria Island in Florida, and this was the only quiet place I could find. It's my son's bedroom at the house we're renting. So, yeah, I'm sitting on his bed and heading to the beach.
That is a great segue into our first topic, and probably a topic most females are tired of talking about. But how do you balance all of this? I mean, look at you. You're so committed to your trade that on spring break you're taking time out to talk to me, for God's sake. So
well, I was excited to do this. I think it's a challenge as a mom a little bit. The gentleman I bought my practice from, he had a big family, lots of kids, and I just think it is different. You know, I learned from him how he managed it, but I'm kind of having to figure it out a little bit on my own as a mom. It's a little different than I think, and I don't mean that as an insult to dads because they do a lot too, but it's a different thing.
I think I speak for the majority of dads. We don't do crap. Okay.
You do. And I have a wonderful husband. One of the things that I think makes it easier for me is I have a pretty rockin' husband who stays. He quit his 9-to-5 when we were pregnant with our son, who is 8 now. So he is home. He does, the school pickup, drop off, volunteers in the classroom, and he helps with my stuff at my office too. And that's been a really great.
I'm a little jealous.
Yeah, he's kind of got a good gig. I'm pretty jealous. We travel from ICE, you know, and he's the one that's sitting at the beach while I'm, at class.
I'm going to have to try to pitch that one to Mona, my wife, to figure out how I can make that
happen. Gig.
So listen, let's talk a little bit about your practice. So you graduated in 2005 from Marquette Dental School. You claim to be a Michigan State Spartan, despite the fact that haven't won anything of significance in at least solid 10-12 years.
We won the Big Ten title outright this year, so we got that.
Like I said, anything of significance. Listen, let me tell you, I'm a Carolina Tar Heel fan, and they do not advertise how many ACC championships they won or how many ACC tourneys they won. It's all about the NCAA tournament.
I know. We've been choking. The last 3 years, we have not done well. I will give that to you. We thought this was the year, but I'm still a Sparty. So, I'm the youngest of 9 kids. We all went to Michigan State, and my dad taught at Michigan.
Do you guys get a discount?
No. Yeah, right? We should. God.
That's awesome. So you graduated in 2005. What did you do coming out of dental school? What was your goal coming out of dental school, and how did you go from there, in about 5 minutes, how did you go from there to where you are today?
Okay. So when I graduated, I knew that I wanted to own my own practice eventually, either as a solo practitioner or as a partner. And I associated at an office for about a year and a half. And it was a really great learning experience because I learned a lot about maybe how I didn't want my practice to be.
Did this happen to be a large group practice, or was this a private practice?
No, it was not. I think it was a private practice. And it was actually, time has passed, but it was a rough, it was a patchy road when I decided to leave. I was planning on buying in, and then that just didn't, it wasn't panning out. The numbers, I just didn't think seemed fair. And so when I left, I practice in a small community, outside of Lansing. Everybody knows everybody. And when I left, it was really challenging. Patients wanted to follow me, and they were not being told where I was. And so it was tough, and it actually made me question if I wanted to continue practicing, to be honest.
And how'd you get past that?
So I was really lucky. The practice that I ended up joining and eventually buying, he really ended up being a really great mentor for me. He was a past president of Michigan Dental Association and just very well respected in the community and just a really great guy. And they are now like a third set of grandparents for my son. And he really,
do you have to give up his age? I mean, he probably doesn't appreciate being called a grandparent.
I know, but he is a grandpa now too. So when I first started working, he would say, "Christina, you don't have to tell people that I've been practicing longer than you've been alive." I'm like, okay, all right. So he is no longer practicing anymore, but his son just finished dental school last year. And
is he coming
so I
back
really,
in?
He is not. He didn't want to move back to Lansing. No. Oh. Went over to Grand Rapids. But he has filled in. He subbed for me when I've been on vacation, so that's nice.
That's awesome. So, okay, so you bought him out in 2012, it sounds like, correct?
Yeah, I bought him out. And I think we did it really nicely. I worked for him as an associate for about a year, and then I bought in as a 50% partner for a few years, and then that was about 5 years we did that. Then I bought
the 50%. Okay.
Yeah, the other 50%, and then he worked for me for a couple of years, and then so it was a really patients didn't even really know, at what point ownership changed, and I really retained a lot of patients that way, and staff. So
That's awesome.
That worked really well.
And describe, yeah. So just describe your practice from the day you walked in as an associate to today. Is it the same practice? Is it totally different? The products and services that you offer, are they massively different?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family, T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
Not massively. He was a Seraph doctor, which I was at the time, you know, was pretty, it wasn't as common, it was not very common at all. So he was a Seraph doctor. So we've had a Seraph this whole time. I've upgraded a few times, but I offer a few more services now, but we are really a pretty nuts and bolts general dentistry practice. I mean, my practice is in Lansing. It's strongly union GM, it's a lot of working class people. So it's not super fancy.
So you're in network?
I am in network with Delta and a Delta Premier provider and Blue Cross.
Okay, and is Blue Cross the biggest provider there with all the GM and all of that?
Delta is actually the biggest.
Okay,
so and then but Blue Cross is very strong. Now that I'm starting to work with medical insurance, they're definitely the heavy hitter there.
So it sounds to me like you're a typical bread and butter practice. You take insurance, you provide great dentistry for your patients. You were fortunate that you bought into a wonderful practice, that you worked your tail off to improve. And so really what I want to talk about is sleep. And that's something that's new, sleep apnea, not taking a nap, but sleep apnea. And that's something that's new to your practice.
It is. So it was actually 1 year ago, almost exactly, that I took your 101 course.
Yeah, with myself and Aaron. Yeah. It's more Aaron's course than me. I mean, I just sit around making jokes.
It was April Fool's Day. That's
it. Yes, you guys played a very, very good joke on me that day. I was not happy about that. For our listeners and viewers, let me go through this. So typically with Sleep 101, day one is Aaron by herself, and then I'll typically show up for day two. And, I always, being who I am, being a control freak, I'll always ask, the attendees and Lori and Aaron, how did day one go? And they said it went well. And Lori goes, I don't know. And what happened, we were getting started at 8:30 or whatever it was, and only one person showed up. And Lori goes, there was nobody at the bus. I think they were not happy with yesterday's class. And I'm freaking out and all of that. And then Aaron's just keeping a straight face back there. She goes, I don't know what happened, blah, blah, blah. And then next thing you know, it's April Fool's joke and everybody's hanging out downstairs in my dental practice playing this joke on me. And of course, I didn't put two and two together. So you came to the course last March, April.
I had recently finished up the Dawson curriculum, which took a couple years to go through. And I knew that I needed kind of my next focus for the coming year for CE, and a friend and I decided that he had heard you at a, I think at a Patterson, like just a little, you know, you spoke for a few minutes at a Patterson thing and Sirona thing maybe. And he was like, this sounds like it would be really great. And airway and sleep was something we had thought about doing. So this was, we decided this would kind of be our next, you know, course that we would go on. And so it was a year ago because it was, I left your course and then I went to spring break down here. I met my family down here for spring break last year. So it was really the first, I had made a couple, like in, you know, 10 years, I'd probably made 3 tap appliances, two of which were for my parents that they didn't ever wear.
And they probably never paid you for them either, did they?
No, they didn't. And I wasn't billing medical insurance, so I didn't even get pierced at all. So I was definitely not, it was nothing that I had done regularly. And so I really didn't have many, to be honest, I didn't have many expectations. I did not know if it would be something, and I came alone. So maybe backing up or going forward, one of the things I think is so great about your course is that you allow us to bring a team member.
We don't allow you. We encourage, highly encourage yes. you to.
Yes. And I didn't do it. And I remember thinking, I was so mad at myself that I didn't have someone there. But I did end up sending someone a month later.
And that's the other nice thing is once you come, we want you to bring it. We want you send more team members, send your hygienist, send yeah. new team members. Yeah. You know, we want team members to be involved. And I think what yeah. what we'll find is we motivate your team members to look at this differently and to really implement it in your practice.
And there would be no way that I would have had the success that I've had over the past year if I didn't have Shauna helping me.
So let's define success real quick. When you say success, what do you mean by that?
So I really feel, so we did it from a number standpoint, yeah. I guess. So I took your course last April. I think I did not make my first appliance until June. So between June and December. Yep, I sent Shauna back in May, I believe. So between June and December, we delivered 28 sleep appliances.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Which for me, yeah. And I was, you know, I did not expect that. And we are already now at a level where Shauna, I'm hoping in the next couple of months, is going to no longer be doing hygiene, and she is just going to be doing sleep in our office. No.
I want to take a break for a second here, okay? So I want our listeners to really hear this, okay? And I want to ask you a couple of questions on this. Christina, did you market sleep services?
Only very minimally. I mean, this was...
as a practice.
Correct. Yeah. I have bigger visions for what I want to do in the future, but no. These were the low-hanging fruit, as you guys call them. I mean, these were my patients in the practice that already had a problem, and I just helped them become aware of what we could do.
And I want to go back, and I'm not trying to make fun of you here, okay? But these are patients you've been seeing for years, correct?
Yes, correct.
And it never, is, go ahead.
Never knew. And I was making them NTIs and bite splints and probably making them stop breathing even more throughout the night. And I was making their problem.
And see, to me, this is what drives me nuts. It's I can't get enough dentists to understand that these patients are inside your practice. And if you just empower your team members, if you get the education at a practical level, not like overly academic science, you get an implementation plan, you get a team member on board, you kick yourself out of the way and you empower your team, you will do wonderful on your existing patient base.
Yeah. I mean, we have not, like I said, we have some plans to, you know, I want to kind of create a niche practice, come up with a different name, you know, kind of just market that segment of my practice differently. But we haven't even done that yet. I mean, this is just, these were all my existing patients in my practice. And they were the easy ones. They were the ones that as soon as we mentioned we could make them an appliance, they were like, oh my God, yes. Why haven't I ever heard about this before?
Yeah. How do you handle that when a patient says, how come you never mentioned this to me before?
So I'm pretty honest. I tell them, you know, I'm And they know me. I'm gone at sea a lot. And so I tell them, you know, this is something that I've just recently started learning more about. And I use my husband as an example because my husband is, well, he's 38 now, but 37 last year. Fit guy, does CrossFit, kept breaking his NTI, kept breaking his bike splint. I had the terminal.
Breaking his NTI.
He broke four NTIs. We had put metal bars in the slider and in the anterior, you know, repositioning piece. He broke it four times. And healthy guy, fit, not overweight, snored a little bit, especially like if he'd had too much to drink, you know, but he'd never been screened. He sees a really great physician, had never mentioned it. He did the home sleep test and he had almost severe sleep apnea.
It's crazy. And I bet you he has a pretty thick neck, doesn't he?
He does actually. Yeah.
I mean, and you should be able to look at him now and look backwards and say, these are the signs.
Yeah. And I felt stupid. I mean, it's my husband. I felt stupid, but it's a really great, for me, if I can talk honestly like that to my patients, you know, and I use him as an example because he's not this like, old. I think people, they get a little offended when you say apnea. They think that you're talking about this like old fat man, you know, that's not always.
Why are you talking about me like that, Christina? That's so mean.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm not old. I'm a little heavy, but that's all.
That's just it, right? Like patients don't realize that it could be you or me. I don't think that they understand. You know, so I use him. I talk about my husband and that has sort of put me on this journey to why I'm now becoming more educated in airway and sleep.
And it's Shana again, right? Is your sleep champion?
Yep.
Shana. So let me ask you this. So Shana sounds like she was your hygienist or is your hygienist. And you're saying that you're hoping she gets to a point where she'd probably be doing sleep apnea treatment almost full time.
Correct. She was not a full time hygienist. She was only working hygiene 2 days a week in my practice. So for us, if I can do 5 to 6 appliances a month, I can have her. I mean, that more than makes up for that. For her not doing hygiene, and I could bring in another hygienist to work those hours.
Isn't that crazy? By the way,
it's crazy. My friends that aren't doing it, that aren't doing sleep, think I'm nuts to pay a hygienist wage to come in. You know, but it pays for itself.
No,
she's good. I mean, she is so good at what she does. She runs with it. I mean, I do very little, to be very honest with you.
Yeah, trust me, we trained you. We know you shouldn't be doing very little.
Yes.
You know, you should be managing it ultimately, right? You should be overseeing your patients, and you should be more interactively involved with more complex cases. And hopefully, you're not taking on a lot of those complex cases. But I want to go back to what you just said on this hygiene thing. What does it matter what you pay your hygienist? What you should look at is a normal hygienist produces, let's call it $1,000 a day. Okay, that's $4,000 a week. That's $18,000 a month. You know, if we're, you know, $16,000 to $18,000 a month. So all you got to do is say, you know what, I need my team member to produce or collect that kind of dollar amount. And that makes it worthwhile. And then what you have is you have a team member that can help out with other team members when things are tight at the office. You have a team member that's focused very specifically in growing a segment of your practice. And now you have a team member that can just that will flourish and love you. I mean, in fact, I bet you your other hygienists will be jealous of her pretty soon.
You know, and I had a discussion with a lot of my team about kind of making sure that we found somebody that was the right fit for this position. And I think they are, you know, most hygienists after a few years, they're maybe ready to stop scraping teeth. And Shana was at that point.
So a quick point to you on that is I tell all my team members, when we bring something back to the office, every procedure, and in our practice, we have implants as a procedure, we have sleep as a procedure, we have Invisalign as a procedure, there has to be a champion of each of those procedures, and it's open. It can be a hygienist, it can be a front office person, it can be an assistant, long as legal requirements are met. And I tell my team members, whoever wants it, you just come talk to me. You know, I don't necessarily mm-hmm. put it on them. I say, whoever wants it, whoever thinks they can run with it, whoever has that spirit, I'm in for them. I want them to kind of to go with it.
Yeah. And that's, you know, and I did, I Shauna was at a great place in her life. Her kids are a little bit older now. And she just thought that this was, she was really excited. So, and it's worked out really, really great.
And she's getting a great connection with the patients, isn't she?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. They call, they don't ask to talk to me. I mean, if they call and they know to ask for Shauna, I mean, if they have a question about anything regarding sleep, they don't call and ask for me at all. They call and ask for her. She actually just texted me right before the call. We got a titration test back and she's so excited. Every time they come back, we took this girl from an AHI of 23 to 1.1.
That's crazy. And that's awesome, isn't it?
It's so exciting. And that's the thing that I think that I did not expect to get out of this. Like I told Erin the other day, I said, I feel like I am passionate about dentistry again. And I was feeling a little burnt out and, I'm jazzed. And I go out for drinks with my friends and all I can talk about is like airway and their kids and they're grinding their teeth and their tonsils and they think I'm nuts. But it's,
now you need arch expansion. Yeah.
Yes. I feel so passionate and I haven't felt that way in a really long time.
And here's what's the best part of it. The best part of it is that you're creating a service that's not dependent on you. Legally, yes, but not in terms of actual physically. Like, in other words, right. A filling, you got to do it. You got to prep the tooth. You got to do all of that. A crown, you've got to do. I mean, in the state of North Carolina, Michigan must be the same. You've got to actually take the damn impression, even. You know, yeah. And it's amazing to me that that more dentists aren't looking at this. So let's go back to a second here. What do you think were the keys for you to take a class and then to bring it back and actually implement it at your practice at a pretty high level?
So I think that I was lucky that I started at your course, and I don't say that just because I'm talking to you, but I think that you can become so deep in the medical, like in the science and the research, which is important to know, but your course, like I learned step by step what I needed to do to come back to the office and implement it. And then from there, I've taken some other courses that have, you know, gone a little deeper, but I don't think you necessarily, that's not what patients want to know. They just want to be better. So for me, it was those step-by-step learning about medical billing and having a champion at my office. I mean, that without those two things, and even the software that I learned about, we started using the DS3. I came back and I just did it. I just paid for it. We hadn't even started. I said, I'm just going to do it. I signed up with a medical billing service and I sent Shauna to the course. And if I wouldn't have just come back and done those three things, I think it could have taken years for me to get going. But
and probably those you would were the, have given up, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, I think. But I bought the sleep test. I bought the home sleep test when I was at your course.
Yeah, so you know, I would sum up what you're saying in almost one word, and that's commitment. You are committed and committed to succeeding with this. You're committed to the education. You're committed to making sure your team drove it. You're committed to holding them accountable, and you're committed to having the tools that were necessary to really implement this at a high level. And the other thing I do want to point out to everybody, listen, to do sleep apnea therapy in your practice, you don't need any tools. You don't have to have cone beam. It's a wonderful tool. I'm a big proponent of cone beam. You don't have to have digital impressions. You can take analog impressions. You don't have to have a home sleep test. You can rely on your local sleep physician or third-party services to do it. You don't have to have software. You can run this through your direct practice management software. It is truly a service that you can provide with almost little to no startup costs. Certainly, there are technologies that make things easier and better, but that's one of the awesome things about sleep is that it truly is a team-driven process that is also has a low overhead cost of getting started.
So, yeah, I do not have cone. I still take old-fashioned impressions, and it works.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. I think that one of the things Erin gets onto me about is is that I personally branded myself as a digital dentist with my CERIC connections and my Combeam connections, but the Sleep 101 course is for all dentists, whether they're with digital dentistry or not with digital dentistry. And Christina is a great example of one that's doing it the traditional method, and it's working out fantastic. That's awesome. So what you would say to people to be successful is to take the education, to get your team on board, to be committed, and to get out of their way.
And yeah, and I think, you know, just you kind of forced us to come up with a number when we were at your, you know, you said you got to just pick a number that you're going to do by the end of, you know, I think you said after 6 months or, but, and it doesn't have to be, I started with my husband, with a team member, with, but just getting a few cases under your belt, you'll realize the process is not that complicated.
Yeah. And it's so important to get those few cases under your belt within the first couple of months, because otherwise you lose momentum, and that's awesome. Yeah. So, well, Christina, do you have any particular questions for me that I can answer for you on sleep or non-sleep stuff, practice stuff?
Well, I mean, my struggle, I have this crazy successful practice, I think, you know, just by myself. But I feel like no matter what I do every month, I'm like, why am I still like clawing to like, I don't want to say I'm clawing to keep my head above water because I'm not. We're successful. But I feel like I'm probably at the point where I need to bring in an associate, but I'm terrified.
Yeah, the associate question.
I don't know if I just don't know. How do I know if it's right?
Good question.
I don't know.
So I don't know how I've been thrust into these positions all the time because I talk about associates so much. A lot of it because I failed a lot of times with associates, but I've been committed to making it work. And here's what I would tell you. So let me ask you a couple of questions, Christina. Are you placing dental implants?
No.
Okay. So
I know.
Are you doing orthodontics? Are you doing any type of straight wire ortho, Invisalign?
Invisalign, yeah.
Okay. A decent Invisalign. Number of cases?
Yeah, not fair. I'm like, yeah.
Okay.
We start a couple of cases a month, probably.
Okay. So you know how you can improve that business even more? Assign that assign that as a champion item as well.
Yes.
And have somebody in charge of that. And you'll see that grow as well. So I would tell you that, listen, here's what I firmly believe, okay? I believe you're reaching a stage in your practice where your growth is truly going to be limited by you being yourself in your practice. And the reason I say that is because, and I'm not trying to be sexist here, is you're trying to balance home life, kid life, practice life, professional life, and you're going to be tugged on by your kids to do more with them, just like I am, not because you're female, just like I am. And the only way that you're going to be able to do that is by having someone else in your practice. And the other thing that's going to happen to you is you're going to have procedures and things that you want to learn and implement into your practice, but you're going to hit a wall of time of being able to put those procedures into place because you just don't have the time to do it because you're busy doing regular everyday dentistry and those patients need to be seen and those patients are an important part of your practice, okay? And you can't give them up. So I'm never advocating giving up those patients. I'm just advocating you giving up those patients directly and allowing another associate dentist to groom them to take those on. But a direct answer to your question, I believe, now this is me, I believe the number is anywhere between 800 and 1 million is when a practice should start being serious about getting an associate. I believe when you hit the 1.2 mark, you're past time to get an associate. So those are my benchmarks. 800 to 1 million, you should really be really searching and putting a plan into place of how you're going to bring that into your practice. At 1.2, it's starting to hold you back from achieving your potential.
Okay, I gotta do it.
Makes sense?
Yeah.
It's
scary.
It is.
It's scary.
So a couple of other things I would tell you to do. I would tell you to, in the beginning, one of the biggest fears I have and everybody has is, where's the money gonna come from? How am I gonna pay for it?
Yeah.
And so what I would tell you is have a 6 to 12 month plan of bringing in an associate and start saving a little extra money, okay? So that you can put it into an, let's call it an escrow fund or a, you know, a rainy day fund, so that when you bring the associate in, that the pressure is released, that you've got a little extra to be able to support that person and also not put the pressure on that person coming in that, you know, that they have to produce or they have to do these things. So you can really bring them in the right way into your practice. You know, do that and then be unbelievably clear about what an associate looks like in your practice. Not what that person wants, but what you want and how that works with you, your team members, your patient base, and just go with it. You won't look back. It'll be tough, okay? There are gonna be ups and downs with it, but you won't look back.
All right,
last thing. What would be your one advice that you would give our listeners to achieve success? If our listeners said, hey, I want to be just like Christina Palmer, what would you say is the one thing that they need to do, the most important thing to achieve success?
100%, you got to have the right team on board, I think, in my opinion. And I don't know if that's
what has been your success in getting the right team members?
Oh, I don't know. I think a little bit of luck because I had a lot of... Sure. That were honestly, like, I have girls that are still there that from when I bought the practice. But I think you got to take the time to and the money to spend to invest in them, getting them trained. To hear, because I think as dentists, we think that we can come back from these classes and teach our team like what we heard. Oh my god, you just know, like, you have to take your team to where you want to, like, they need to hear the same thing you're hearing, I think. And it costs some money, but
I think that... And they need to hear from somebody else.
Yeah, yeah. Because there's so many times that I think, why aren't they getting this? Well, they don't, you know, I've heard it ad nauseum when I go to courses, and that is not what I do. I'm not as good at portraying that message. And like you said, yeah, I think it means more when it comes from somebody else. So I think you got to be able to invest the time and the money to train your team. To do and say the things that support what your vision of your practice is.
Christina, how can people get in touch with you?
They can email me. I'm kpalmerdds@gmail.com or
Facebook.
That is Facebook, yes, Christina Kelly Palmer. That's the other cool thing about, I just have to say, taking your course. And I think that's the case with, as we take little niche courses throughout, but it's fun to see people, you know, at other places throughout the country that I met when I took your course, you know, and I see Aaron I feel like everywhere I go, I see Aaron. Every course I'm at, I'm like, oh, there's Aaron. So it's fun. It's a nice little community and it's really approachable. And so, yeah.
Thank you so much, Christina. I don't want to take any more of your time. But you're on spring break, and say hello to your family for me, and we look forward to seeing you back, and keep up all the success.
Great. Thanks, Yvonne.
And we'll hear everybody next week, and thank you for tuning in this week, and we look forward to having you join us each and every week here at the T-Bone Speaks podcast.
Thanks so much for listening to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal. Remember to keep striving for excellence, and we'll catch you on the next episode.